This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices, united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
Yo, what's shaking, everybody? It is another edition of the Red Bastard Podcast. I am that Red Bastard, Jeff Ketchum, coming to you from Austin, Texas, deep inside the U.S. of A. And there's a lot of stuff to get into today. We are like on the cusp, 4 days away from the start of the 2020-2021 season, 4 days away from Liverpool defending, attacking another championship, 4 days away from the group of players that we love doing that thing that brings us so much joy. It's different. There, you know, the fans in the stand continues to be an issue that we will deal with throughout the rest of the 2020 calendar year, and they slowly phase back into the grounds. But football is football. And if there's one thing I feel like we've learned in 2020, it's that, you know what, at the end of the day, they can play in a parking lot, and I will watch it, and I will be, as long as I know there's something on the line, 3 points, I'm in. They can play at the playground. They can play on AstroTurf. They can play in an empty stadium or the parking lot. Like, you give me Liverpool and Leeds with 3 points in the Premier League standings on the line, I'm down. But some things I thought we needed, and we don't. I just need 11 guys versus 11 guys with coaches on the sidelines and players that can come in and play reserves. I don't need anything else. So we're there. The season's getting ready to begin. A big part of today's podcast will be talking about the fact that this new season is upon us. And I got to be honest, man, we're 4 days away, and it has not completely clicked in. I got my boy Guy in the UK asking me today on a 1 to 10 scale how excited I am about the start of the season. That was like an hour ago. And I was like, kind of a 4? Like, it's because of the international break. It always screws up my equilibrium. And we're 4 days away, and it doesn't feel like it. It's the first game, so I'm not in a routine yet of there being games and doing podcasts. And like, I just don't have my fan game down. And then I'm really busy with other stuff that's going on in terms of my real life and what I do to pay bills. And it's the opening of the college football season here in the States. So, yeah, no, it keeps me busy. The University of Texas will have a game on Saturday night. Thank God it's Saturday night instead of Saturday morning, but it's a busy week. So I'm not quite all dialed in. I'm hoping that doing this podcast will get me closer to, you know, a 14 on the 1 to 10 scale. I'll be there by Saturday. I'm just letting you know. It's Tuesday. I've got kids downstairs in the first grade doing virtual learning, trying to learn how to read. And it's a lot. Let me tell you what else is a lot. I've been trying to think over the course of the last couple of days, like what is the podcast this week? Because there is a game on Saturday, right? So at some point this week, we're going to talk about Liverpool and Leeds a lot. But the transfer window is open. It's not shutting for a while, and it's impossible to get away from the constant conversation of building the makeup of this team. A team that won 99 points a year ago, won the league by 18, ran away with it, set records left and right, like, you know, left no doubt about it. Quite emphatic, if you will. Most of that team, if not all of the really true key parts, I mean, you know, your fourth center back, your seventh midfielder. Liverpool have lost a couple of players, but all the contributors are back. It's one of the reasons why you would feel incredibly, insanely good about the prospects of this team coming into this year. I mean, if there's ever a year where you want to have the gang back together again, if the gang is worth bringing back together again, it's in a year in a pandemic where the transfer window doesn't shut for another month. There's kind of chaos in the transfer window in general, especially now that we're under a month remaining. And teams that didn't want to sell on the cheap are now kind of having to sell on the cheap. We're starting to see some strange deals take place instead of no deals. For instance, Everton is spending a lot of money on dudes that will absolutely keep them in, like, 10th place. Newcastle is spending a lot of money as if, you know, as if there's not a pandemic going, like there's some strange things going on, but in our world, Tiago mania and the sadness of the reality that exists with Jeannie Wijnaldum are the two things that we have not been able to get away from. And so I've been thinking like, okay, well, I got to talk about that. And do I need to do a love letter to Jeannie Wijnaldum and like get that out of the way? Because it crossed my mind. Is he not coming back to Liverpool? Is he going to play with the Dutch this weekend and then that's it? He's never coming back. Like have we seen, was the charity show the last time that we see Jeannie in a Liverpool kit? Like that crossed my mind this weekend and it made me sad. The bastard got sad. So I was thinking that's going to be the genesis of like, we had to have this conversation about what it's like to lose a loved one in the sense of football, in the sense of sports, how on some level, we're going to have to be okay that this is happening, but it hasn't happened yet, so we're not okay with it. And then today, I'm sorry, it's so out there that all I can do is chuckle. Today, I'm on my morning walk. I do like a 2-mile walk every morning, you know, because I'm overweight, need to lose some pounds. And I hit refresh on Twitter. Full disclosure, I was listening to the James Pierce and the Red Agenda podcast. Haven't finished it yet. And I refresh Twitter and I see a tweet attributed, like the information, it came from one of the aggregators of other people's information, like I do sometimes. Let's be clear. Like I'm not breaking news with Liverpool football. And it's from The Echo. It's from Gorst, Paul Gorst, the guy that ultimately, I guess, what replaced James Pierce. And the report is that Liverpool are open to the idea of loaning Rhian Brewster to any of the 10 Premier League teams that have contacted Liverpool, showing interest in the young starlet. And they're also open to the idea of selling him. And that there is a world in which Liverpool could end up with Thiago Alcantara and Ismael Sarr, another young starlet from Watford, in this offseason as part of a makeover, but like the climate will have to change. And the tag associated with Rhian Brewster was like 20 million. And suddenly, I got to be honest, like my mind got scrambled a little bit. Like it was a lot to process. Whoa, wait a minute. What do you mean they're open to selling Rhian Brewster? What, I thought we were just talking about he's going to stay on the roster, maybe even let him play in some of the cup games and at worst do what you did a year ago and loan him out in January. Like there's no reason to make a rush decision. And then as well, we could loan him out. And what's the benefits of loaning? And what we get hit with today is, Liverpool could sell him with a buyback option that was thrown out there. And that, you know, it's implied that the funds of that sale would potentially impact the ability to fund these other purchases. Now, a bunch of things cross my mind. One of them, can I get the bitching part out of the way? I don't feel like I'm going to go overboard. I don't feel like you're going to hear me be one of these Liverpool fans that's on tilt to such a degree that they really should just shut the fuck up. But I feel I have a small gripe, a baby one. It feels like Liverpool is doing business to support other business. And like, I get it, man. Like we've all seen, I think, man, if you're listening to this podcast, you've almost certainly seen the Swiss Ramble breakdown of the Liverpool books and how they're doing business and how much money they're spending annually on salaries. And like, I'm not anti FSG in general at all. Like we're champions and that's happened on their watch and they get credit too. But it seems clear that Liverpool want to get Ismael Sarr and Thiago Alcantara. It sounds like they want to get those guys over the line, but like it has to happen in a certain order. And there's a part of me that's like, just if you're going to do it, get it done. And then if you got to sell afterwards, I get it. Go sell Harry Wilson. If you got to sell Rhianne Brewster with a buyback, and that's how you're going to do it. I mean, I guess it's not my favorite thing in the world, but that this thing's, you know, they couldn't go out and get a left back cover until they sold Lovren, and then it happened. And so they're interested in Ismael Sarr, but, you know, they have to do something else. Same thing with Thiago. One has to go out before one comes in. And, like, I get it, but it seems like we're headed towards this path of inevitability. And if we are, let's just get on the path. Okay, that's my baby rant. Now, that rant out of the way, because that, like, that's not like anti-LFC or anti-FSG, or that's just, it's just me being a little frustrated about, like, how the timing of this is going down. Here go my other thoughts upon hearing that with some time to reflect on it. Number one, Klopp must just not be down with Rhianne Brewster. If Jurgen Klopp, because none of this happens without Jurgen, FSG is not going to ruin its relationship or risk its relationship with Jurgen Klopp over Rhianne Brewster. Not happening. Not happening. Now, if somebody offered $200 million for Sadio Mane and they were like, Jurgen, we have him valued at $150. They're offering $200. I know it's a week before the season, but $200 million, like, we need to think about it. And at which point Klopp might say over my dead body, and then Liverpool might say, we have to do it anyway. And there is the first real fracture of Liverpool and Jurgen Klopp. It's over the sale of one of the front three. Well, that ain't happening. So this would happen. Oh, you're offering $250 million for Salah, and it's 5 minutes before the season starts? Jurgen won't like it, but we have to talk about it. They don't float the idea of selling Rhianne Brewster unless Jurgen Klopp says, I'm cool with it. Now, why would Jurgen Klopp be cool with it? I think the concern with Rhianne Brewster in general right now is that he does not fit this current Liverpool model. That in a world where Jurgen Klopp doesn't exist as its coach and there's another style of football where a true bona fide striker, a real dedicated forward would be useful. Well, you don't know what you're going to get out of him work rate-wise, but he's going to get goals. And that's not really what Liverpool's into right now. And they kind of have a guy like that in Mohamed Salah. And even he, you wouldn't insult by saying he gives nothing in terms of work rate. But Rhianne Brewster, how he fits into the Liverpool puzzle is a question that we have been talking about for a couple of years now. Jurgen Klopp has just had Rhianne Brewster in training camp. We know he likes him. But that's not the same thing as he fits our system and I have a plan for him. And if I hear Liverpool are selling Rhianne Brewster, to me that just screams square peg, round hole, it doesn't work. And one of the things I've seen in the immediate aftermath of this report is that people are saying, well, if they sell for 20 and they go out and get Thiago Alcantara, would you be okay with the idea of Liverpool selling a young player to buy a 29-year-old midfielder? And my first thought towards that is that makes zero sense. I think the way that you almost certainly have to look at this is that we may not know the financials involved in exactly how it goes down, which means there's a margin of error of like anywhere between 5 to 10 million pounds, maybe 15. Like, I don't know. But to me, if Liverpool sell Rhianne Brewster to Sheffield United or whomever, to me, that is all about funding the sale of Ismael or the purchase of Ismael Sarr. That is going to Watford, knowing that they'll take less than 40 million based on the business that we've seen from them in the last week or so. I think you go to them, you take your Rhianne Brewster money, you buy Ismael Sarr, and what have you done? Well, you've bought yourself cover on the flanks in a way that Rhianne Brewster doesn't really do. You're bringing in a talent that better fits your system, and you've kept yourself young. I think that this, I am open to the idea that Liverpool want to swap one young player for another, that they don't dislike Rhian Brewster. They just don't know how much he fits into what they're doing. So take that part and from a value standpoint, swap it for involving essentially a third team and bring in a guy that same young talent, same probably about that level, but better fits your system. If you ask me today, would I trade Rhian Brewster for Ismael Sarr? I would. Absolutely. For the reasons that I just outlined, where you're going to get some Liverpool fans on tilt is this notion that you can't have both. That why can't we just keep Rhian Brewster and then go get Ismael Sarr? Why can't we have two young guys? That's a fair question. It is. And ultimately balancing the books is going to be the fallback. And like, I'm not telling you to like it, but I'm also telling you that like, that's the world that we live in. I mean, I don't have it in me to completely get upset about the way of the world and the fact that it doesn't go the way that I always want it to. I'm used to that. I mean, there's been a lot of bastard things happen to this bastard over the years that will make you get used to the bastardization of the world. Oh, I dealt with some bastard stuff today. I mean, the world sucks out there. So, you know, I'm not going to look at the way my favorite football team operates and understand why they do it and then get mad because I want to be a titty baby and throw a fit because it's not what I want. I allowed myself a baby rant earlier, but I can't get upset because they want to balance the books. If you ask me, would I take Sarr over Brewster? I would. Do I want both? Yeah. Do I understand, though, Liverpool, the concept of a trade like this? We see it in American sports all the time. So I'm a little more used to this idea of what do I need? What do I have? What if we just trade? Like, you have something I need. I have something that you need. What if we swap the things that we need? Boom, done. Now, Watford don't want Rhian Brewster, or probably they need that money for something else. So we need a third party to come in here. We want Watford's player, but Watford needs cash. So the way to make this work is to sell and sell. You put a buyback on it. If in a couple of years you think you've made a mistake, you bring him back. I'm completely okay with that idea. I don't love it. But if it means getting Ismael Sarr onto Liverpool, I think it makes this year's team better in a way that having Rhian Brewster on it does not. I think it fits our long-term process with Klopp. If you know, Rhian Brewster's staying based on now what we're hearing in a weird way, Rhian Brewster being sold to me vindicates the idea that we know that Jurgen Klopp's going to be around for a while, for four more years. That we got till like 2024, that 2-year extension wasn't just talk. It wasn't just cover. Cause if it was, if Klopp was going to leave in a couple of years and they just did the extension thing to give him some cover so it wouldn't be talked about all the time. I think a guy like Rhian Brewster, you'd just keep no matter what. Cause we might have a new manager in 18 months. And he might want something else. He might want Rhian Brewster. This style of play might better suit Rhian Brewster and vice versa. But to hear this idea that they would sell Brewster makes me feel a little warm and fuzzy inside from the standpoint of it's like, oh, well, Klopp is here to stay then. Because you're not selling young talent unless the coach is like, look, I'm going to be here for 4 years, and I don't know if he's ever going to fit. I don't know if I am ever going to be able to properly use this dude. Now, back to Genie and back to Thiago, because I think Rhian Brewster is tied to the hip of Ismael Sarr at this point. It's obvious to me that Genie and Thiago are tied together. Same, same. And again, if you ask me, would I rather have Thiago for this year and let's say two more years after that? Or would I rather have Gini Wijnaldum for this season only and then he leaves on a free? I'm going to take Thiago. So if you tell me that they're going to make a deal ultimately where the bottom line comes down to they bring in Thiago, but Gini goes out and Thiago commits to them in a way that it wasn't going to happen with Gini because of finances, I'm okay with that. It's not what I want. I want them both. If you haven't noticed, that's a thing. Wanting both things, not being able to have them, what then becomes the best outcome for this problem? And I think Liverpool selling to Barcelona and funding the money to purchase Thiago, it's not ideal. But if I can have one thing or the other, which is I either get Thiago and him for three seasons or just one more season of Gini, I'll take Thiago in three. If it's either Sarr or Brewster and I can only have one option, I'll take Sarr. Again, I don't like the process of getting there. But will this team be improved if they do that? Yeah. I mean, I don't know if people have noticed, but Gini Wijnaldum has lost his job at Liverpool. And maybe that's harsh. Maybe there's going to be way more rotation. Maybe I'm completely ignoring the fact that Jurgen Klopp loves to call on Gini. But again, if Jurgen Klopp wanted something, FSG would give it to him, ultimately. If he really was like, look, man, we cannot lose Gini Wijnaldum. He's the engine to my everything. Then they would have given him an extension. Jurgen Klopp has signed off on, look, man, Gini at 29, we probably need to be thinking elsewhere. I'm reminded as an NFL football fan that the Cowboys had DeMarco Murray as a running back under contract, and they would not pay him an extension. All he wanted was to be paid like one of the best running backs in the world, and they were like, nah, we're kind of done giving money to running backs like that, although they later gave a ton of money to Ezekiel Elliott. So what did they do? They used DeMarco Murray like he was a rented mule for the entire last season he played for the Cowboys. They ran his ass into the ground, and he was never the same after that. But Liverpool didn't pay for it. He went out and got a big deal with the Philadelphia Eagles. Cowboys didn't pay that money. They got every inch out of him that they could, and then they said goodbye, and it wasn't a bad thing, and he went and got paid, and then the Cowboys proved to be vindicated that, like, we probably shouldn't have given that money to him, and we didn't. So I get where they're coming from. It just don't like it. And then there is the conversation that we need to have that if Gini Wijnaldum does leave to go to Barcelona, that is the first side that, like this fairy tale that we've been living in, he will be the first guy that would leave that we would, I think, really, really, really care about. But he has kind of lost his job. If we look at what Liverpool looks to be doing in 2020, Fabinho sitting deep in the six seems to be locked in. Now, there is a world where I guess Klopp could be so unhappy with Fabinho as he was over the weekend against Blackpool when, because there were no fans in the stand, if you were watching the feed on the LFC channel, you heard Jurgen Klopp get into Fabinho. In a world where Fabinho just, I don't know, regresses. You could always move Jordan Henderson into the six and you'd be okay, right? But we think that Fabinho is our guy. He's our lighthouse, right? So if he's your six, that leaves two spots in the midfield left. Okay, there's two things to note here. Jordan Henderson's got to get on the pitch. He's literally the reigning player of the year and the captain of the team. So he's getting in. So if Liverpool's playing in a 4-3-3, Fabinho and Hendo are on the pitch. That leaves a spot. And that spot is the spot we think that Naby Keita should operate in and play in a lot as a starter. But if you don't like that and Klopp decides I'm not going 4-3-3, then I'm going to go 4-2-3-1. And I'm going to put Minamino on the pitch. Again, you're talking about a midfield situation where Fabinho's on the pitch and Hendo's on the pitch. And Hendo has to be on the pitch. And if we're talking about who has to be on the pitch between Fabinho and Wijnaldum, I think it's Fabinho. So in a world where Keita's getting on the pitch more and Minamino may get on the pitch more with the attacking front three where they change the shape, something has to give. And, oh, by the way, they want to give Curtis Jones more pitch time. You know, James Milner's going to occasionally play. They have got numbers. And then you add Thiago. And Thiago could play as one of those back two, as could Naby Keita. He could play in an attacking number eight position. The versatility is there that they can do a lot of different things. It is impossible for me, though, to ignore that if there is no Thiago, Thiago doesn't come and Genie stays this season, Genie's role in this squad will change because Keita's going to play more and Minamino's going to play more. And the only way one of those guys gets to come on is if somebody goes out. And the only way that somebody can go out is through the midfield. And when Hendo's healthy, I think we learned in the last 2 months of the season, he has to be on the pitch. From a pace standpoint, he revs our engine. So, Genie leaving will be sad. But from a footballing standpoint, it might be needed. It might be best for both sides. It might be that, you know, Genie Wijnaldum could be miserable this year if suddenly his pitch time declines, not because of anything that he's done, but because Liverpool want to play other players. Nah, Jack, we're going 4-2-3-1 today, and I'm going to put Hendo and Keita as my holding pair, and then I'm going to put Minamino and let him do his thing with the front three. And, like, we don't need Genie today. We don't. So it's just, you know, I say all of that with full respect to the greatness he's been as a player, the huge moments that he's delivered, the huge amount of minutes that he's played as really Klopp's first midfielder. But Klopp has signed off on Genie leaving the team. Otherwise, he'd already have an extension. The wheels have already been on motion for this for a minute. I think everybody needs to remember that. This is happening because Klopp is signing off on it. And nothing will either happen or not happen that Klopp doesn't sign off on. It's as simple as that. So whether it's Brewster or it's Genie and it's funding these, if Klopp is signing off on it with a thumbs up, I'm not going to get all bent out of shape. But I think we need to be prepared for what's happening. And I think we need to look at it through the correct prism of, you know, what's really happening. And don't think of it as, you know, selling Rianne Brewster's not funding Thiago. Those two things are unrelated. But it screams to me that we're not getting cover on the flanks. We're not getting a wing. We're not getting somebody that could back up both Sadio Mane and, you know, Mohamed Salah. Like, we're not getting that kind of cover. It's not going to be young. Like, all the things that we want, we only get those if we create some money. And the only way we may create some money in this year may be not selling Harry Wilson. If we thought selling Harry Wilson and Shaqiri was going to fund Ismael Sarr, we're incorrect at this point. If it takes Rianne Brewster, I'm okay with it. Won't like it, but I'll be okay with it. You know what? As it relates to the opening game, I don't know what to say about this Leeds matchup. I'm not quite there mentally. I'm all about this other stuff, which I hope's not a sign for this season. To me, this one's simple. Leeds is going to be a little bit like Norwich from a year ago. They will come out balls to the wall. They will want to make a statement. They will play as good of a match as they can play, and Liverpool just need to outclass them. And you know who the front three is going to be? I don't know what the midfield's going to be, ironically enough. I mean, is Hendo ready to go? I don't get the sense that he's ready for 90. So would Liverpool go 4-2-3-1 in this opening game? I kind of would like that. I'm okay with Big Virg coming back, same back four, same back channel, same time. You know, I would guess that Trent's ready to go. I would guess that the back four, knock on COVID wood, that they're all okay. And then I'm tempted to let Minamino get the start in the opener and go with Fabinho and Keita, with Hendo coming off the bench and Genie coming off the bench if that's what's needed. A little bit of a crowded situation there on the bench, though, with injuries. Klopp's decision on midfields, you know, what they do, you probably get away with it in the week one because Milner will absolutely be in the squad. How many midfielders do you need? I mean, even without Thiago, Curtis Jones going to suit up, James Milner's going to suit up, Genie, Hendo, Fabinho, Keita, that's six. I get it. There's some really tough squad decisions will have to be made at some point this season if injuries aren't, you know, in the equation. I understand the hesitancy of adding to the squad, even though we want to. But as it relates to the season opener, it depends on what formation he wants to go with. If it's 4-3-3, then you probably see Fabinho, Genie, and Keita, with Hendo giving you 30 off the bench and Milner giving you 30 off the bench. I guess there's a shout to put Milner in the starting lineup because Leeds is his old boyhood squad. But to me, we've seen Liverpool play. They played, I think, Salzburg last year. And, you know, Keita went home and didn't get in the starting lineup, if I'm not mistaken. Like, there have been times when we've seen these reunion matches and Klopp has not played to the story angle. So I think he goes with his best team. I don't think his best team's got James Milner in it right now, especially since Nico would be on the bench if he even gets in the squad. So, yeah. No, I think you'll see Milner on the bench, even though – and I think Milner will play. Klopp will have to get him in the game. But if it's 4-3-3, I think everybody's nailed on except for the midfield, which if it's 4-3-3, I think he goes Genie, assuming Genie's still with us. I think you see Genie, Keita, and Fabinho. And I think if it's 4-2-3-1, I think it's Keita. I think it's the lineup that we essentially saw on Saturday, except your defense gets Trent and Virgil back. But I really want to see that front three with – I do want to see Takumi Minamino play. And I'm okay with them going 4-2-3-1 in the opener to make it happen. I think that'd be a fun game of football. Just throwing that out there. Anyway, look, I will do another podcast on Saturday where we recap the game. It will be all football then. Like, I've talked to myself. I'm at an 8 now. So in the last 30 minutes, I went from a 4 to an 8 just thinking about Saturday. So I'll talk to you again on Saturday. Who the hell knows where we'll be on the transfer front? Don't get wigged out, though. Use your brain. Ask yourself, does it make sense? And if it doesn't, work the parts around until it does. Until next time. Later, fellas.